On April 25th, 1994, the news section of Christianity Today reported the following. Some Elvis Presley fans were actually revering the king of rock and roll as a god. Pockets of semi-organized Elvis worship had taken hold in New York, Colorado, and Indiana. Worshippers would raise their hands, spelled and chanted Presley's name, and prayed to the deceased star. When there was an Elvis sighting, there was a special service where a whole lot of shaking went on. What a great article. I love that. You know, the reality for every person, however we express that, is we were created to worship. We truly were. And the reality for every human being is that we will worship someone or something because it's a part of our nature, whether we are aware of that consciously or not. It's a fundamental aspect of who God created us to be. You know, ideally, obviously worshiping him, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. But we will express that in our lives some way and somehow, no matter what. It's as fundamental to being human as eating and drinking and breathing are. We were created to worship. And it's interesting, in our gospel lesson today in John, Jesus and the woman at the well, the Samaritan woman, are having a conversation about this and where worship takes place and what's really true. The Samaritans were actually of mixed ancestry. They were shunned by the Jews. Jews did not like Samaritans. They were considered unclean and cursed. And so again, this is part of the reason for the disciples' surprise when they came to the well. First of all, there was a man talking to a woman, which usually didn't happen. And secondly, it was a Samaritan woman. And so they were doubly shocked about what was going on. But it was a very, very important conversation. Because again, Jesus was, we'll see in a moment, was inviting this woman more deeply into relationship with him. The Samaritans actually worshipped at Mount Gerizim, which at one time was actually dedicated to the god of Zeus. The Jews obviously worshipped in Jerusalem, in the holy city of God, at the temple there, as God's people gathered together. And what Jesus says to this Samaritan woman, he says to you and me, and he says to every human being. Jesus says very simply, true worshipers worship God in spirit and in truth. So again, I shared with you at the beginning of this message that every human being is created to worship. You're going to worship someone or something. And Jesus is sharing with us in relationship to the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, the ideal way for us to worship and the kind of worshipers that God is looking for. We true worshipers will worship God in spirit and truth. That word spirit actually comes from the Greek pneuma, and it means wind or breath. And if you've been here over the past few weeks, I've been in a series on the Holy Spirit, and I've been talking to you a lot about the wind and the breath of the Holy Spirit. And so part of the reality for you and me is that you remember in the very beginning of our humanity, the creation story talks about the reality that God breathed into the dust and man became alive. He formed us out of the dust, but it was from God's breath. It was from God's pneuma. It was from the wind of God from his mouth that we actually received life. And so this whole idea of spirit or pneuma or wind or breath speaks about the reality that our spirit connects with God's spirit. And as much as God's spirit created us and formed us and actually gave us physical life, the other reality is this breath, this wind of God, this spirit of God also gives us spiritual life. It's all connected together. And that's the spirit that the Lord is talking about, to worship him in spirit, our own spirit, the very spirit that God breathed in us and gave us life. You know, you realize that every human being is special and important. Every one of us have a unique fingerprint, unique DNA. There is no one like you. You are incredibly unique before God. That's why every human being is so special. From the womb, as I like to say, from the womb to the tomb, every human being is special to God. It says in the scripture in Psalm 139 that he knit you together in your mother's womb. And so, you know, part of the reality that you and I need to celebrate as believers is that not only are a man and a woman involved in the creation of a child, but the truth is God is involved as well. God is always involved in that. In fact, if you look at the scriptures, he says to Jeremiah, you know, I knew you before you were in your mother's womb. So, you know, you need to take it a step back even before there is a conception in the womb of the mother. You need to take it back before that as you read the scriptures. And the reality is God knew about you before you were born in your mother's womb. God intended for every human being that was conceived to have a life. That is God's intention. That's what the Word of God says. So again, I just submit to you, again, this whole idea of breath and life. That's why God abhors the killing of children. I mean, he abhors the killing, I think, of any life. Every life is precious, but he especially abhors the killing of children because it's the beginning of a new life. It's the beginning of a new destiny. It's the beginning of someone that God conceived in his mind even before the breath of life happened within that child as they were born. I don't know about you, but I get excited about that. I think that's a beautiful, beautiful image. I like the idea that God knew about me. I like the idea that God knew about you before you actually were formed in your mother's womb. Because that says to me, God in his perfect infiniteness had an intention for you and a destiny for you even before you were conceived. God thought about you before your parents even knew you were there. How awesome is that? So true worshipers worship God in spirit, with life, with breath, with this pneuma that God has given you, with the Holy Spirit, but also in truth. Truth means sincerity and integrity of soul. It means holiness, purity, and humility. It basically means being rooted in God's word, and the reality for each one of us is that that is a process. Thank God. I need process for that because it's going to be a long time. I am certain that it's still going to be a process for me even when I get to eternity. Thank God. It's going to be a process, and it's true for each one of us. But the destination that God has for us never changes. The destination is his truth, his light, his love, increasing intimacy with him, increasingly following his word and his truth, not because we have to, not because Father Joe says, well, you should really do this, not because your mom and dad told you that, but because from your heart, as you worship him in spirit and you draw closer to him, because you want to. Because it's a part of your life, just like breathing and eating and living are, that more and more you and I are being rooted and formed in the truth. Because you see, the truth connects God and you, connects God and each one of us. As we walk in his truth, as we walk in his word, as we follow him, we're being connected to him more and more and more. I read today we had a wedding earlier for Mike and Margaret. They got the flower study, by the way. It's in your bulletin. They got married. Really a fun celebration. And in there, the gospel was from John, and it says something to the effect that if you love me, you will keep my commandments. I'm just going to speak for myself. That's not always easy. But again, the Lord is very clear. If you love me, you're going to follow my word, or at least grow into what that looks like for your life. So again, as believers, you know, we live in a day and an age where, you know what, love basically really more and more is almost anarchy. It's like anything goes. Whatever you define love to be, whatever that is for you, that's what love is. You know, for God forbid that I would ever define love for you because that would be so judgmental and wrong. But you know what, I just have to say, God defines what love is for us. God says to us, this is what love looks like. Rooted in truth. That's what God says. And so it's important for you and I to realize that, and that truth connects us with God in a very deep and powerful way. That's why Jesus said, if you love me, if you really love me, if you really want to follow me as your Lord and Savior, you'll do what I've said to you to do. And one of the things he said was, love the Lord your God with all of your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. That sums up all the law and the prophets. Again, we come back to that word, love. So these are the worshipers that our Heavenly Father is looking for, worshipers that are rooted in spirit and in truth. And again, I would say to you and me here today that that is a process. It is a growing experience. And in closing today, yes, I'm going to close. In closing today, I want to share with you part of my journey in learning about that. When I was in college at West Virginia University, I would go home for the summers from Morgantown to where my mom was living on the farm with her parents, in Weston, West Virginia. And Weston, West Virginia is famous for a glass factory, hand-blown glass. They actually blew the glass that is in the White House. Just really beautiful craftsmanship. My grandfather actually worked in that glass factory. They're also noted for an insane asylum that is on some of the world's most haunted places now, something like that. Walked through that place before while the people were still there. And so that's a big place downtown Weston. And just a small town, country town in rural West Virginia. So I would go home for the summers, and I remember this one particular summer when I was there, at the time Roman Catholic. I would go to Mass every weekend. Sometimes I'd go during the week, but mainly on the weekend. And as I was walking downtown one night, because we were living down in beautiful downtown Weston, West Virginia, as I was walking around the town, I happened by this storefront Baptist church. Now, you have to know something about Catholics, at least my Catholic upbringing. We never really talked about any other faiths. You could have said Baptist, Episcopalian, it didn't matter to me. I wouldn't even know, could tell you what they believed, because we never really talked about it. We were the Roman Catholic Church, we were the one true church, finale, end of discussion, no need to talk about anybody else. That's the way it was. So I walked by this Baptist church and it was like really different. I mean, they weren't doing what we were doing in our church, I'll tell you that. And it was a small storefront church. There might have been 6 or 7 people in there. But as I walked by that small storefront group of people, I could just tell there was an energy coming out from that place that I needed to explore. You know what? I went in. It's the most incredible thing. Young Catholic boy in college going into a Baptist storefront church. I'd never been there before, never been with a Baptist before, but there was something about that place. It was like a magnet that was drawing me. Have you ever had that experience where you've been around something or someone and it's like a magnet that's drawing you and you just got to go find out what it's about? So anyways, I went into that storefront church and the Baptist pastor was up there. He had a black suit and tie on. He worked in the coal mines, I found out eventually. Most of his family was part of the church. There was about 1 or 2 other people that came in addition to me. That was the church. But boy, I tell you what, when he looked at me come in, first of all, he was totally surprised I walked into the storefront church. But he was also very, very welcoming, smiled, gave me a Baptist hymnal. I had never sang from the Baptist hymnal before. Didn't even know any of the Baptist hymnal songs. Take Our Bread, stuff like that. That's what I grew up on. Right, Glenn? Oh, yes. Good Catholic songs. I didn't know anything in the Baptist hymnal, but I need to tell you, when I was with that small group of about 7 or 8 people, they sang those hymns with such heart, with such spirit, with such truth, with such energy. I was touched. It just touched me. It's the only word I can use for you right now. It touched me. So much so, the rest of my summer, Wednesday nights, I was at that storefront Baptist church. Still went to the Roman Catholic Church on the weekend, but I was at that storefront Baptist church on a Wednesday night. Got to know that family. Got to know the pastor. He was a coal miner. Worked hard in the mines. The reason why he was at that storefront church something about the Baptists. This is how they grow their church. He got kicked out of his main Baptist church, hello, because his doctrine wasn't quite right. And so he formed this storefront Baptist church. That's how a lot of churches grow, by the way, in church history. They kick each other out of their churches, and they end up starting other churches. Hello, I won't go into that today, but that's kind of how it's done sometimes. They taught me in that brief West Virginia summer. I got to know them, and each year I would go back over the summer to meet them and get to know them. We became good friends. They taught me what it was to worship God from your heart. It was never about the numbers. It was never about how many people were in that place. It was about singing those Baptist hymns with all of your heart and soul to God with anybody else that was there because you wanted to worship Him, because you wanted to give Him thanks, and you wanted to do it in a way that was full of spirit and truth. So, beloved of God, I want to encourage you today in the stewardship of our hearts. You know, wherever your heart is right now, whatever place you may be, I want to encourage you as you worship God, let go. That would be my word. Let go and just have fun. Enjoy yourself. You could even do that in this church. We've done that a number of different times. Just let go and worship God with all of your heart, all of your soul, all of your mind, and all of your strength. Because you know what? God created you to do that. God created you to do that. Some people have said to me during the service or service on Sunday, Father Joe, sometimes I just feel like I want to shout out amen, or sometimes I feel like I just really want to belt out even more strongly as I'm worshiping God. You know what I say to them? Go ahead. What's holding you back? I know what's holding you back. You're afraid about what other people are going to think around you. Don't worry about them. I gave you permission. Go ahead and do it. You know, the most important person we should consider in the stewardship of our heart is God. God. And just worship Him with all that you have in the stewardship of your heart. Worship Him in spirit and truth. Because as you do that, just know this. God's been looking for you. God's been waiting for you. And that's exactly the kind of you that God has been wanting to bring forth. Amen.